glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, January 8th, 2019. So far, so good. I've gotten the year, got the day, got the date.
We're on
Marianne
task.
Is joining me. Our new formats on Mark and Friends, I don't know, not so much new today, because on Tuesdays we've tended to have the practice of reading a chapter from Memories of an African Son. But tomorrow we'll be doing our Prime Life Times in review. I think we'll do that on Wednesdays while Pastor Jason and Schiffo continues to attend other things and get caught up and weigh in his priorities and all the things that are pulling at him and giving him a little rest and some family time. So hopefully throughout this month of January, you'll keep Pastor Jason Schiffo prayed up and he'll return to us on Wednesday and Fridays come February,
great.
Lord willing.
Great.
So let's see. Do you see my little notepad? I got some printouts here. I got a book here. Hey, let me tell you one fun little God sighting story. This is still in the works. I haven't gotten in touch with them yet, but some of our listeners might remember Doug and Barbara Greenlee. Mm-hmm. They lived in Champaign, I don't know, a number of years, probably about 18 years ago, a few years after we got started. Barbara Greenlee says, you know, the Lord put on my heart, I'm supposed to give you our SUV.
Oh,
and this was like 1 year old, like just say if it was, let's say, 15 years ago, just say it's 2003
I'll just say
or whatever, 2003, it was like a 2002, like a year old, I don't know, $30,000 vehicle or something, felt like she was supposed to donate it to us. So
God bless her.
Basically, it was kind of funny at the time. We took it. I think the next night we were having dinner at somebody's house, and they said, yeah, we're looking for this Ford Explorer SUV, this. And we said, we have that exact model.
Don't tell me
color.
You gave it away.
No, well, so we sold it to them. They wrote us a check for $26,000.
Okay.
And then we used those $26,000. It was given to the station. And so this couple who bought it, then we ended up getting Uzz and Buzz. We had two radio vans at the time, and then the extra money.
What
went
did
into
you just say, Uzz and Buzz?
Uzz and Buzz. They're the nephews of Abraham. So we had Uzz and Buzz. They were the Great News Radio vans. This
That's
is a
different.
Long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah, we had on the front
Uzz
bumper.
And Buzz
Uzz
are
and
the
Buzz.
Nephews of Abraham?
Yeah, yeah. You have to
How do
look.
I not know that?
And I think they were twins.
Really?
Yeah, this you have to look
of Abraham
very
in the Bible?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think there were nephews or something.
We need to start memorizing things. Okay.
we tune in for Mondays
That's
and we'll
right.
find that verse.
Okay, so you sold the van. Tell me the rest. And then did you buy yourself a car?
So they purchased this SUV.
Yeah.
And with the monies, this $26,000, we bought two vans and we called them Uzz and Buzz.
Oh, I get it. So you bought two vans.
Yeah.
That's
so we had
cool.
Uzz and Buzz.
That's kind of savvy and smart.
Had
and
that for a number. And I think there was like $8,000 left, which went into the general account. But anyways,
That's
long
great.
Story short.
How'd we get on that? That's great.
yeah. So this couple that used to live here that did that many
Greenlees.
Years ago, I get this email last night. Hey, Mark.
Need a van?
Echoes. No. Yeah. What you driving? Yeah. They go, hey, Mark, Echoes of the Past found you on Alexa. Barbara and Doug Greenlee, and then they gave their cell phone numbers. They live in Cornelius, Maryland. But basically, they must have said, hey, Alexa, play Great News Radio or something, or WGNN or WGNJ, so they listen. And then they made a PayPal donation. And so this was a note on the PayPal donation, so I'm in the process of signing.
You're out there in the cyberspace somewhere, Mark.
Yeah, so I don't know if any of you have Alexa or
a van
or Google. What is that, Google, mini Google? That's what we have at our
Why
home.
Why are you looking at
we,
me?
We all say,
I don't know.
Yeah, because all the time we say, hey, Google, what time is it?
I know,
And it tells you what time it is. Or, hey, Google, play Steve Green or whatever.
Right.
You know, you can do that. But they said, hey, Alexa. So any of you that have Alexa, try Great News Radio or say, hey, Alexa, play Great News Radio or play WGNN or hey, Alexa, play WGNJ and see what happens.
Or you could say, where's Mark Burns today?
Or what vehicle should
you know, where's Waldo?
Hey, Alexa, what vehicle should we donate to Great News Radio?
That's true.
Cash and bonds. Anyway, so that was kind of fun. So I can't wait to call them today and get caught up and see what they're doing.
That's
great. I want to send them.
They sound like nice people.
Oh, they were great and wonderful, godly. Hmm. And they always, like some other people I know and maybe many of our listeners, they always looked at their resources as God's resources.
That's
and
great.
They were just stewards of it. And
I think
I remember,
money flows that way. Yeah. I think to people that think that way.
I think God has really blessed them through the years.
That's great.
And so forth. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to send them a copy of the December and January edition of the Prime Life Times because I don't even know if they knew of our acquisition of the Prime Life Times. It had been, what, 15 copies removed, a little over a year and a quarter now of producing this. So I want to send that to them, and I'm going to send them a copy of It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know if they ever heard or knew that our Great News Radio Theater troupe put that together. So
that's so great they contacted you.
And so if any of you are still interested in making a donation to Great News Radio, maybe a first-time donation, or you don't have a copy of It's a Wonderful Life, if you make a donation of any size, we'll be happy to mail that out to you. So I've been doing that to a couple people that are first-time givers. I just include it. And I say, thank you, whatever. Yeah. I write my little note to them, and then I say, have a wonderful life.
Oh, so, you're a clever guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what everybody's excited about is Memorization Monday.
Yeah.
I have heard so many comments Monday, so many comments.
Oh, people coming in and buying the book. I posted another photo of No Waiting.
You're going to run out of the copy.
Yeah,
you need
I think
more.
So. So if you haven't picked up your copy of 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart, as each and every Monday we'll be reading excerpts. We're spending the preponderance of January this month like building the case or the argument, why it's important to saturate your mind and heart with Scripture, why it should be something you read or a practice of memorizing. And it's kind of like a lost art. For many years, even in schools, even in public schools, they had a practice of reading the Bible. It was considered either a religious class or great literature or something important to know. I mean, it's a part of the bedrock of this country. And so many times there were Bible memorization contests and summer camps and all that.
Yeah, so I remember being in Bible Bowl, and we just memorized so much and learned so much.
But it's kind of like a lost art. So we're going to build the case why it's important to get God's Word in your heart. And then probably come the first Monday in February, we'll actually begin the practice of our first verse together.
So exciting.
Genesis 1:1.
I know. It says on the back of the book, it says, change your life from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:20.
Yeah.
That's grand.
Yeah. And those of you that have tuned in for a few weeks know that I've been getting pretty excited about this. In fact, I've been starting early just so I could stay ahead of Esther.
Oh.
She's like, I just know when I drive her to Judah each day and we work on a little memory verse, she's going to go, Daddy, I'm done with that one. Let's go on to the next one. It's like, no, Daddy's still working on this one. So
kids can push you.
Yeah. I'm kind of trying to get ahead. Nancy Ray was in here yesterday picking up her copy, as were a number of other people. Mm-hmm. And she's like, are we going to have like a gathering where maybe all the scripture memory people come together? And so I'm working on that woo-foo form I told you about.
Well, yeah, you told me right before we got on the air. I was like shocked we actually made a decision off air.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't make it with everyone as we were making it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's going to be like take the Memorization Monday challenge.
That's great.
And then I do have three different links for people to pick up the study guide on this book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart.
Oh, there's another book beside this?
Well, it's a study guide of this book.
Oh, okay.
And so there's a link that I'll email to people that sign up on our WooFoo form saying, hey, include me in the Memorization Monday Challenge, or just send me more information. So that way, if I could collect your email address, you'll get a link to the free set of, I don't know, it's like 20 or so pages of, I don't have one in front of me, but it's
free?
The leader's guide, tips.
Oh, okay.
And you're able to print it out and give it to people. And then you can also get a set of the 100 Bible verses, like business-size cards.
Oh, nice. I'd like that.
I think they have a King James version and another version. And then I have two adapted versions that I've made of the 100 verses, one in Arial and one Times New Roman.
Mm-hmm.
So one is like on three pages, one is on four pages.
Well, you really have been busy
with this. That's what I use at night, just about every night for 3 weeks. I look at the verses. The first 10 I have down pretty good. But boy, you get to the second 10, and it's like, oh, yeah. How do I start that? Deuteronomy 6, 7, and
oh, gracious.
Is it, does it begin with but or that? And you know, anyways,
well, what's the rest of it?
Well, no, there's many like that I'm trying to, you know, just keep repetitive, keep doing it. And then, as we were talking about this yesterday, having the positive attitude.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, oh, it's so hard for me to memorize, well, then you're reinforcing that it's going to be hard.
Your brain's listening to you as you talk.
Yeah, so don't talk that way, anyone. Let's say you can do it. Let's just practice. It just takes maybe a little longer time. Let's just be intentional, work on them every night. That's what I'm trying to do is, I don't want to say I'm a slow reader because then I'm reinforcing that, but I just want to be persistent and stay at it and keep working on it. And like I said, the first 10 have gone pretty well. And now I got to get into this next 10 and hopefully the next 10. And pretty soon I'll be able to say, and I don't know how many verses I already have memorized, but it'll be great to say, I have 50 verses memorized now.
That's great.
I have 100 verses memorized now. And so.
Well, persistence wins the day. They've proven that over and over and over.
Yeah.
Persistence wins the day.
Yeah, and a little work on it each
day.
Keep
going.
Each and every
even
day.
Even if it's slow.
And come February, we'll probably just work on one verse a week. And then with each verse that we work on, there'll be a reading on it and memory tips and points of application.
Oh, that's helpful.
And I think it'll be really good. The very first one is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens.
I've got that
earth.
One.
Yeah, that's that one. And so that one, and we'll talk about why is that strategic? Why is that important? Why is that foundational of everything that God, in the beginning, he created? So there was a beginning, there's a purpose, there's a reason. So there's a really good explanation on why that's foundational and fundamental and so important for us to know and realize.
I have to say something about, when you said that, it reminded me of something. I was in a class with Brian Rummery. Hmm. He's the discipleship minister at Windsor Road.
Okay.
Which is where I go to church, where I member. And he was talking about scriptures. And he had read in, I think it's John Piper's book, Desiring God, where if you just sit and meditate on that scripture, but just on the phrases in it, like that one, you'd say, in the beginning, and you'd stop. And you'd sit there, and you'd pray, say, in the beginning. What's that mean to me? In the beginning, God. And then you just look at the word created.
Yeah.
And you think about that, and you meditate on that.
Yeah.
The world, you think about that. It's really powerful.
Yeah,
it really is when you do it.
Yeah. Well, I've already signed you up for memorization.
Oh, I'm already signed up. I'm doing
it. Yeah, we got you. You already have your book.
Yeah.
Again, if you haven't picked up your copy, first come, first serve, and then I'll certainly order more.
Oh, we have to order more. They're going to fly off.
$10 discounted price, usually $14.99 on Amazon, and we have it available here. In fact, I have candy cane treats left over as a bonus. You get one of those. So.
Oh, my word.
Oh, but if you send in an email, say you're interested in knowing more, I can send you 3 links on the email and then 2 attachments of the 100 verses that are all printed out.
I want to ask how are they going to get their candy canes, but I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. You only get the candy canes if you stop by Lincoln Square. And
stop in and say hi.
Pick up your edition of 100 Bible verses.
Wish
everyone
cookies
should
and
know
stuff
by
too.
Heart. Oh, maybe
we
down
need
the
people
road.
To come see us.
But, back to Nancy Ray. So she said, will there be some gatherings, some fun? And so we'll probably have some kind of night where we'll come together and talk up the verses.
I don't know.
I think it'll just be a fun way to be interactive. And in fact, Jerry Selfrick, he volunteers. And actually, he delivers newspapers to Danville from the Champaign-Urbana area.
Oh, is that the Jerry?
Yeah.
Well, I wish I'd known that. Okay.
And Jerry, I think, on Monday nights, he and a small group, 5 or 6 of them, are going to be going through this together. So it's a great thing to do with other people, do with your friend, do with your spouse, do with your children. Let's get God's Word in our hearts.
Yeah. Great.
But being Tuesday, it's time to put some of the memories of an African son into our hearts.
Thank you.
And we're going to begin with Days of Peace, chapter 30, so we're halfway there.
Halfway to the
halfway
end of the book.
Yeah.
All right. Days of Peace. They say we never know what we have until it's gone.
It's a rock and roll song, right?
Sort of a hopeless statement, I've always thought. And I'd like to think that surely we can do better than that. The Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Philippians 4:11. It's a tall order. And part of making it work is to force ourselves to look for the good when things aren't perfect. To stop focusing on what is wrong and start focusing on what is right. even if at first we have to really search for it. To find that place of peace in ourselves and then string the days together with it. What is peace? Peace is a good conversation with one's sister or brother, completely free of shades of rivalry. It's walking home in the brisk morning air from a polling place on election day, knowing that no matter the outcome, you have voted in line with your conscience. It's accepting on a gut level that you cannot control the world, and that the only control you have is over yourself.
Amen.
Peace is standing over the grave of your parent, knowing for certain that all is forgiven between you, in both directions. It's standing there knowing that there is deep and abiding love present on both sides of that grave. A strange, sobering peace, that one. There's no way to put a price tag on days of peace. When they're gone, we long for them with a longing that is nearly inconsolable. When trouble strikes, all we want in all the world is to go back to just one of the days when the ordinary marched on and nothing was wrong. We would give all of our wealth to be rid of the trouble and go back to the days of peace. So why is it that we so struggle to appreciate them when they're here? I think it may be because we've learned to put such a premium, such a laser-like focus on any little single thing that may not be perfect, not quite up to our standard. We allow the bits of negative on a perfectly normal day to overpower the cornucopia of goodness that might be trying to flow our way. I've discovered that petty discontentment is a destroyer of a high order. I can think back to so many things in Zimbabwe, little things that brought such enjoyment. First comes the memory of kariba bream, surely one of the most marvelous tasting seafoods anywhere, fresh and delicious. Oh, to have one now. Next, watching some members of our hospital staff grill flying ants.
So?
To perfection, out in the back of the hospital for a snack. Not for the patients, just for them. They grilled them as often as they could. I thought it unbelievable that they were eating the ants, though they insisted it was a delicacy. I crouched by the cast iron grill pan with them, watching as the ants sizzled over the fire, shaking my head. Although I did not care to eat one, I have heard of things that are far worse, in my mind at least, being served at fancy New York restaurants. We had also once had a plague of flying ants on our mission station, and the memory of lying under blankets that were pulled tight from head to toe with the large flying ants pounding away at me was too fresh in my mind to have any possible desire to eat one.
Yeah, you could probably go one way or the other.
Oh, yeah.
Or want to eat a lot of them, get rid of them.
Oh, that was such a nightmare. I did love sadza, though, the staple of the diet at that time. It was a cooked, thickened cornmeal dish served with greens, vegetables, or a peanut mixture, or even with meat stew relish when available. Memories flood back of watching women in the nearby villages weave beautiful baskets in an assortment of shapes and sizes. I never once grew tired of watching them work at this exquisite craft, and they let me try my own hand at it, too. And I quickly learned it does indeed take practice. Their skill was handed down from ancient knowledge. I remember the unique smell of those vines and grasses that had been soaked in preparation for basket making. Some baskets were made specifically for winnowing grain, others for carrying or storing things. Every single one was beautiful and strong. We had many Zimbabweans in our home for tea and for dinner and for late-night games. Many nights I played dominoes by lantern light with a young friend, an African girl, in our living room. We both liked the game. I played another game with my African friends in the afternoon after school was over. We drew squares in the dirt and sat around it with beans and rocks and such, moving them around. They generally won. Mm-hmm. I can hear the sound of the old Ringer washing machine located near the back screen door as clothes were quickly put through it. I remember climbing trees day after day, one of my favorite things to do, climbing just as precariously high as I possibly could. I recall serving our Bible college students the most wonderful evening dinner we could afford in our home to honor their graduation. I was the waitress for the event at the long wooden table in our dining room, bringing in and clearing dishes as they sat at the table with the most scrumptious food we could manage. The hours I sat on a rock in the hot sun by a riverbank, waiting for a flooded carburetor to dry out after we had ended up floating the car through a river, didn't seem like a waste of time. We just sat and talked there on the riverbank before continuing our trip. The Shona people that I lived among were experts at waiting. For them, it seemed that time was not something that gets lost or gets found as though we're in control of it. It just moved on. I remember walking along eating sugar cane when we traveled to the sugarcane fields some hours away. It was a wonderful thing to eat, full of vitamins and minerals, before it was processed into molasses, then raw sugar, and finally white sugar. Some of the roads in that area were sprayed with molasses and water to tamp down the dirt, and they glistened in the sun. My years in Africa were a time of great adventure, interspersed with so many days of equanimity and peace. Things had a slower pace. The days seemed ever so much longer. People of my parents' generation talked of this often regarding their own past, about the slower pace of life, the lack of self-imposed stresses, and I experienced that in Africa long ago. I longed to sit in my tree again, with my book and my little stash of freshly picked guavas, with not a care in the world, except wondering when the truck filled with water barrels would drive up the dirt incline. But I cannot. Even were I to go to the very spot today, it could never be the same. Things are built up. The simplicity of the era is gone. The time itself is gone. It has now escaped me. But the feeling is not. And I find I have many things today that are just as wonderful, just as fine, just as perfect. One only has to look for them, to string the days together on a strand of peace. Today, I sit on my porch near the tomato plants I just planted yesterday with my coffee in the lawn chair I found on sale. The plants are growing already. At least that's what I've been excitedly telling people all day today. It certainly looks like it to my hopeful eye. I like being near them while I write. Enjoying my coffee. Days of peace. Father, let me never underestimate or undervalue peace. It has a sound, a music, all its own. And in the end, though its song is more subtle and less flamboyant than the many others that have played in my life, I think it's possible I will look back and love it best. So give me the grace and the understanding to appreciate it today. Give us peace. Let it wash around us, our children, our friends, and our times. Give us days of peace.
Days of Peace, Chapter 30, out of Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins, available here at the Great News Radio Center. And I'm thinking, you know, in the example that I read yesterday during Memorization Monday, that with memorization, you can do it anywhere. If you're standing in line, you know how you can get impatient waiting in line. Maybe you're in the grocery store and you're waiting, or you're waiting somewhere. You pull out your little scripture memory packet or your verse, and that's what I'm finding myself doing a lot more. Or at night, you have a sleepless night. I start working on some of those harder verses that I can't get down, and I find myself right back to sleep shortly after. The only problem is sometimes, like, how does that begin? Oh, what is it? And I have to turn on the light and go find it.
Wake the family up. What's Dad doing? Always looking for a scripture verse.
he doesn't have that one down yet. There's so many different ways to find peace. Peace in God. That's the greatest.
You bet.
Greatest gift we can have.
But, praise God.
Well, thank you, Mary Ann. We'll continue our readings on Tuesday. Tomorrow, we're going to have a our Prime Life Times in Review.
Yay.
So look forward to having you back, and we'll talk some more and see what our listeners are up to, how we can continue to bless you through our readings, through our broadcasts, through our radio events and gatherings, and the different things. Our newsletter will be going out really soon, so if you donated throughout the year 2018, expect to get that with your thank you year-end letter. Or if you want to receive the newsletter, just give us a call, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777, and we'll mail that out to you. All right, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.